Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'm thankful tonight for the plan of salvation. I'm glad the Lord came and found me too. We live in an imperfect world, and when I look at the world and hear the news reports and follow the events of life, they can be pretty discouraging, to be honest with you. When you see all the corruption and the dishonesty, and you see all of the lust and ungodliness that pervades our world today, it can be pretty discouraging. But I thank the Lord tonight that He made a plan. And from the very beginning of time, from the time that Adam and Eve transgressed, all of us from that time has had to deal with the idea of sin. Whether you've ever thought about it or not, you deal with it. You deal with the idea of sin in your life. You ever think what it'd be like to live in a world that there wasn't any sin? You ever think about a world that you could absolutely believe what somebody said? I mentioned to Sister Gertrude a while ago. She said, "I'm gonna tell what she said." She said it was. She said, "It's good to see you, Brother Marty." And I said, "It's so good to live around saints that you know tell the truth." I believed her. I said, "Well, that makes me feel pretty good." I believed her. She said it was good to see me. Yeah, think about a world that would be like, we don't live in that kind of world. And because we don't live in that kind of world, we've got to deal with people lying to us. Right? I mean, people do lie to you. People will deceive you. People will take advantage of you. People will hurt you. Many cases, they'll do things that maybe not, sometimes malicious, sometimes not malicious. But things happen, and we have to deal in that kind of a world. We have to deal, we have to deal with what we say to other people. I have to deal with my accuracy. I have to make sure that I'm not doing it. We live in an imperfect place, but God made a plan. God made a plan to where we can be overcomers in a sinful world. It's not changing the world. Anybody notice that the world's really not getting better? Salvation's been around a long time, and it's changed the lives of thousands of people, but it ain't made the world better. World's getting worse. But there's a plan that's not, it would be a great plan for everybody, but tonight, it's gonna have to be a personal plan. It's gonna have to be a plan that you embrace to help you. When I say you, I'm a part of that you. I have to be willing to accept that plan and allow it to help me live in this sinful world. To help me to be, what do we all want? Well, I want to go to heaven at the end of this. And I know you want to go to heaven at the end of this. But I would sacrifice everything in this life to go to heaven at the end of it. But I would rather be happy here. And God made a plan to give us peace and joy in the middle of the trial. We don't have to succumb to a defeatist attitude and say, "I'll go to heaven when I die." We can have victory in this life because of the plan of salvation. It's a plan that is to help us to be able to take the sinful actions of others and still be happy. Believe that? There's a power in His salvation to look beyond the circumstances of this life, look beyond what people's doing, and be able to do as Jesus did when remember when Peter spoke to him and he said, "Satan, get behind me." Wait, that was Peter. No, wasn't Peter. Jesus looked beyond Peter and saw the influence and spoke directly to it and left Peter out of it. We can see the circumstances many times, and if we're not careful, we get so drawn into that worldly life that we allow it to affect our peace, our satisfaction, our joy in life. And we become like the world in that sense of hopelessness, that we have to live in that kind of a place. Well, I'm here tonight to speak to you a little bit about a plan God made. He made a plan of redeeming our souls. He made a plan about giving us something that's more than we can have otherwise. A power that we can have to face the storms of life and still have peace in our hearts. I believe that plan tonight. I think there's a plan of salvation. And it's got a lot for us. And I'll not touch but a little bit of it, but I want to touch some of it. We're going to start with Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is a wonderful book. There's a lot of prophecies in Isaiah about the whole book. When you really get down to it, it's talking about Jesus. You can read it over and over, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's about the Lord. It's about His plan. The 55th chapter of Isaiah starts off. It says, "Ho!" That's an attention getter. You know, woe is too. Woe, but woe's got the negative idea about it. Woe unto you. Woe. Get your attention with the first expression. Ho is to get everybody's attention. Look up here. I'm going to tell you something. Ho. Now you're listening, see. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. What a plan. Who did he exclude? Well, if you ain't thirsty, you wouldn't want to come. But if you're thirsty, you want something in your life? I'm going to tell you tonight that the world's thirsty. I can tell you they're thirsty because they're always drinking. They're drinking on all kinds of stuff. But they're drinking it in. Every time some artist comes up with a new song, the world drinks it. A new movie, they drink it. Something other comes, new comes, drink it in. I can tell you they're thirsty. They're drinking. But that don't do it. If you're thirsty and you need something in your life, I can say to you, if you don't need something tonight, you can be excused from this service. Because the keys fill the need. Well, I want the Lord. I want something that's going to satisfy. I'm tired of drinking and getting to the bottom of the cup and being thirsty. See? I'm tired of the things that I've done. Now, I have an experience in my life, and I thank the Lord that I was a fairly young man when I come to this place. But I come to a place that everything I tried to do didn't work. Oh, it worked okay. It just wasn't satisfying me while it worked. I was trying to get some satisfaction out of this or out of that or something that I was doing or a relationship or something. And every time I ended up being unfulfilled. I ended up being thirsty at the end of it. Ho, to everyone that thirsteth. Come, it's open, it's free. All you that labor and heavy laden, come, it's free to you tonight. Do you know it's not? It's still free to those that have come. There's a lot that it's free to us. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy. Well, how can you buy with no money? You know what it takes for this? He'll give us beauty for ashes. You got an old burned out life. You got a discontented life. You got something that's worthless. Come and buy something that's valuable. make a trade with you. If you can bring me a broken, worthless life, I'll trade it to you for something that's valuable. I'll give you the real goods from heaven if you'll bring me something burn out. I'm telling you, there's no better trade than this. Usually if you go and make a trade, you got to bring something worth of the Lord says, you bring me nothing, burnt out life, and I'll trade it to you. I'll trade that old burnt out worthless life for something that's rich and valuable. You know why the Lord looks at things the way he does, and sometimes we miss it? Sometimes we look at somebody and we'll say, they're burnt out. They're worthless. What are they going to do? They're a candidate for salvation. The further we go that way, the more of a candidate we become. Well, everybody that thirsteth, you're thirsty, come. Come to that. That's the call tonight. If you're thirsty. I'm saying if you've even made the first step to salvation and you're still not contented, the invitation still holds. Come to the fountain. And you can buy something without money. Come ye, buy and eat. You come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then there's a question asked. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor and for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good and let your soul delight in fatness. Wherefore or why? Why do you spend your money? And your time on things that don't satisfy. This is the message to the world. Why do you continually keep going and spending your life trying to be happy, trying to be contented, trying to find satisfaction in life? Why do you keep spending and spending and spending on that which satisfieth not? How many times have we been in that place to where we've spent? We looked at something and said, this is worth doing. And this is going to make me content. We can still fall into the traps to believe that money will satisfy us. We have use of it. It takes it. But you won't satisfy yourself with it. If you had the whole truckload of it, and you might think it'd be fun for a while, be exciting, do something. It's always exciting when you've not done something you haven't done before. But after a while, you think, I buy that. I've done it. I've seen something and said, you know what? I'm going to have that. If I have that, oh, we know I call it a romantic sense of us. We think about things and think, and you play it through your mind. What if I had that? Oh, I see myself using that. I see myself doing it. That would be wonderful. That'd be wonderful. I'd be so happy. I'll be happy. That's going to be nice. Maybe it's going to give me an image. Maybe it's a pair of shoes. Or maybe it's a piece of equipment. Or maybe it's something and you play it through your mind and you think that, and you get it. Now I got it. Where's the rest of it at? It went away with the dream. The dream went away and now I don't have what it was. Why are you spending your money and your time on things that don't satisfy? World, why do you keep doing that? You chase one thing after another, one thing after another, one thing after another. You know, generally when somebody's got through with their fifth wife, I'm going to say the sixth one ain't going to satisfy them. It's just this calculation that I have in my mind that I usually say, if you ain't contented after all of the entertainment that you've got out of Hollywood, all the discs and racks of music and all that, and you still ain't satisfied, the next one's not going to satisfy you either. You're still spending on what doesn't satisfy. And it doesn't satisfy. And we live in a world of sin. And we live in a world of fake and fraud and lustful things. We live in that kind of world. And we try to deal with all of that and thing. And there is only one thing in all of the facade. There's only one thing, and our God knows what it is. And He made a plan to where we could be truly satisfied. It isn't in money. It isn't in entertainments. It's in the fulfillment of Christ in our lives. Because when you've taken this ride with the Lord, you don't need any other ones. You don't need the roller coaster ride. You don't need the next new thing. Because this is the fulfilling part of it. And the question rings out then, why then do you keep buying, spending on what doesn't satisfy? Come and get what satisfies tonight. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that knew not, thee shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That was what was on the, if y'all remember, that's what was on the side of the old gospel tent truck. Remember? Seek ye the Lord. Isaiah 55:6 was what was put on there. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Quit spending on what don't satisfy. Seek ye the Lord. Right there's the answer to it. But it says while he may be found. That gives me the idea. Maybe he can't always be. Listen. He forever is there for our salvation. But there is things in our lives and places and times in our lives. And sometimes they're few and far between. There's times that the Lord can bring us into a place that he can talk to us. That he can move on us. There is a time that the Lord comes close in the experiences of our life until we be able to seek the Lord and find him. And that's why it's given to that. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While you have a right mind, if you want to say it that way. Before you go comatose in old age. Before you lose your rational functioning mind. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Before your heart's too hard with the world that you can't get through it. Seek ye the Lord while you're young and tender and you get there to him better. Seek ye the Lord while the gospel's falling on you and you feel a prick in your heart. You may be able to respond. And the Lord is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, because there may be a time that you don't hear that call anymore. There may be a time that the hardness of this world's got through and the addictions of these things that I'm talking about is so seared our hearts. We have no mind for the Lord. You don't think that can happen? I can name you a number of people I met in my life that got up 80s, pushing 90 years old, and you had nothing left to our minds to look and say, why wouldn't they serve the Lord? They have nothing left of what they always loved and could do and all those things. They're just almost a vegetable in their bodies. Can't do hardly anything. And their minds were so set that they said, I lived my whole life this way, I'll die this way. Lord have mercy. There would have been a time in that person's life that they could have fulfilled this passage. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Take advantage of the great plan of salvation, that at the end of this thing you can say, I'm satisfied. It satisfied my life. Paul came down the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 and said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. They're going to lift my head tomorrow, but I'm satisfied today. Jesus has been good to me. And I am therefore ready to be offered, he said. My time has come. I'm satisfied with the Lord. And I'm going to get a crown. Not to me only, but all those that love you appear. There's a place. Seek ye the Lord. Salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to move towards salvation. You may never get another chance. He may never be near to call on. These meetings are set up for this very thing. For God to be able to draw himself to us and draw us to him. So we'll have this precious opportunity of this plan of salvation that he made. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Oh, just in the meaning of that scripture, just the way it sounds, I don't have any problem with believing that. We don't think naturally like the Lord does. We need to get the mind of Christ through having a relationship with Christ. Because we don't naturally think. We need his spirit to lead and guide us. We need his mind to help us to think. Because we don't think the way he thinks. He made a plan of salvation. Many people can't accept the freeness of it. It's free. A free plan of salvation. All you gotta do is come. He said he would abundantly pardon. Come for this is a part of it, folks. Brother Jim White told me one time, said, I'll tell you one thing, said, I talked to a lot of people, and he said, one thing they won't already listen to. You can talk religion, you can talk fellowship, but if you talk repentance, they'll walk away from you. Folks, it's always built on the righteous, unrighteous turning his ways. You know why? Well, it's against God for one thing. But the satisfaction that you can really have in life doesn't come through sin. That's what tears us apart. That's what destroys families. It's what destroys marriages. It's what destroys nations. And he wants to eliminate it out of our lives. He made a plan to do it. There is a plan to eliminate that in our lives. And give us the power over it. It's the plan of salvation. Lord, help us to embrace this plan of salvation with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and what it does, what it can do for every one of us. That we can not only be, have that in our own lives, but we become a beacon. We become a light to the world. They look and scoff at salvation. They have every reason to. Honestly. They have every reason to scoff at it for what it's been made out to be. And for what people say that salvation does. Because the same person that says, I'm on my way to heaven and I've got God's salvation, will lie and cheat you. That ain't a good plan. That's no light to the world. But when they see the true sacrifice and love and devotion of those that really have it, it's a light and a beacon that draws people to it and says, that's what I want. I want that same kind of calmness in the middle of the storm. Now, you might be here today and you don't have calmness in all of your storms. And if I was, everybody to be honest and say, well, I'll raise my hand and say, I'm not always as calm in the middle of the storm as I ought to be. Because I could raise my hand and say I'm not as always calm in the middle of the storm as I should be. Because what happens is, as the scripture says, for us to walk in the Spirit. If you're going to live in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit. And the fact of it is, the reason he said that is that we get busy in life sometimes and we're not always walking just like we ought to be walking. Now, Lord, help us there. But the plan of salvation's got a remedy for all that. Thank the Lord, he's got a Spirit that will say to us, walk ye in this way. He's got a Spirit that will say, you need to freshen up. You need to straighten this. You need to help. Thank God for salvation. A perfect plan of salvation. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, this is really beautiful. It's very poetic in this. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. Now, if you can picture that. Now, you all might not have a real pleasant view of rain at this particular point. But when the end of the summer comes and you all dry completely out to toast, think of this scripture then. It says gentle rain starts falling to start filling your ponds back up and your lakes back up. And to cause the grass to start turning green again. And the snow falls to water the grounds. And when spring comes, your tulips start coming back out and the greenness starts coming back. That's what this is talking about. And as sure as that happens, he says, that's what my word is. I sent the rain and it doesn't just pop back up and dry back out. I send it for a function and it fulfills the function. And so is my word. I'm going to send my word to water you green. To change. See, this is all about salvation. So get this picture. You're burnt up. You're dried out. You're barren. It's the analogy of a sinful life in a sinful world. And the Lord says in his plan of salvation, or you could say, you might say, and it'll be streams in the desert. And I'll send this to your dry, barren soul. That hungry, that thirsty soul that's barren and dry and sin has took its toll. And they've destroyed their home, their marriages, their family. They've destroyed everything around them. And don't know how to live righteously and right. And he said, I'll send my rain. I'll send my snow and it won't return to be void. It's going to cause freshness and greenness and life. Isn't that beautiful? If you're drying up tonight, he wants to send this meeting his word. His word is life. We need to hide it in our hearts. It's the life that he sends. I'm going to send it to green your desert. Oh, what a beautiful plan of salvation. You dried out and you're worthless and there's nothing you're doing. You're no fruit in your life. And he sends the rain and the snow. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, and it will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. This week, let this prophecy be true in your life. The prophecy is that he's going to send forth his word for the hungry soul, the thirsty soul, the barren, the dry, and it will bud. It will bud. There's no use of planting seeds if it ain't going to water it, is there? No, but it's going to be life. It's going to be life to those that sow. And so far to it that it's going to be, it's an expression, it's going to be bread to the eater. It isn't going to stop the function. You're going to sprout it and then dry it out. God isn't interested in just starting you on this plan, folks. Oh, I have so much leaned on the Lord in this. You know what? I've done many, many times in my discouragement. There's one little thing that gets me going every time. He loves me. You know what? If he loves me, it says it all. Man, maybe I failed a little here. Maybe I was a little short here. Maybe it didn't work right here. He loves me. You know how valuable that is? He loves me. He loves you. He loves you. I've thought before, you ever feel like you couldn't make it? You ever feel like it's too big for you? I got something for you. He waters the seed so it'll sprout. What good would it do if it didn't ever made it till it would be food to the eater? No, he takes this all the way. That's what that means, folks. He's going to take this all the way. If he saved you, he's going to keep you. You can count on him keeping you. He didn't save you to lose you. He saved you to keep you. He saved you to bring forth bread so it could be eaten. Your life is to be profitable. And he knows how to get you to that kind of a place. I thank the Lord for this poetry of Isaiah. It's a beautiful idea. The seed's sowed in a barren place and the Lord rains and sows and it comes and it buds and it goes all the way until there's profit in it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What do you think of that? Now that's some rejoicing. You know, in a literal sense, that'd be pretty neat. I don't think it's really in the literal sense, but there is expression there in that. Your obstacles is going to be will be beautiful music to you. Your obstacles are going to make you a wonderful song. You know, we are that way. We really are that way. If you don't add the complication into it, it's just not as meaningful. You know what I'm saying? And there's things that touch my life because they're fantastic. They're extraordinary. That they go beyond. The U.S. Military has an award, or it's actually given by Congress, the Congressional Medal of Honor, was made to give to somebody that went above and beyond the call of duty. And if you say somebody was just doing their duty, we would all say, we ought to do our duty. But when somebody goes beyond the call of duty, there's admiration in that. There's something touching about that. That man sacrificed and gave his life for somebody else. There's been men that won it. Most people that win that, the award's given to a loved one. Because their heroics got them killed. But we look at that in a different way. There's something special about when the sweet music comes from the rough places. The trials. The hard places. And when we look and say, that must be terribly hard. And they lift their hand and say, I love Jesus. God is good. But you're suffering, you're hurting, you're in pain, you can't function. And they lift their hand and say, he's still my Savior. He's with me. He's helping me. That's a different kind of music I hear. The rejoicing, rather, things are going to prosper to the people of God no matter what. You have to have God's mind to see the prosperity sometimes, but it's a prosperous way. Thank God for the plan of salvation tonight. It's a good plan. It took many a weary pilgrims from this right on to glory and was joyful in doing it. Lord help us. In this last verse, it says, instead of the thorn, back in the third chapter of Genesis, if I'm not mistaken, when God dealing with the serpent and Adam and Eve, I believe there was an expression made in the penalty of sin, that the ground, for your sake, shall bring forth thorns and thistles. It was a penalty for sin. The earth was cursed to bring forth thorns. Thorns make things difficult. They prick, they cut, they hurt. They're a problem to us. And there's a sense that will always remain. There's thorns on this earth, and there will always be troubles and problems in all of our lives. But there's a prophecy of a remedy for the curse. And here it is. The thorn in this plan of salvation. The thorn. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that thou shalt not be cut off. Yeah, there's a curse of sin still in the world. But salvation is the remedy for the thorns. Now the thorns are still there, but God has a different design for them. There's a different, something happens different in them. God has made salvation until there's a change happens, if you will allow me to do this. There is a change that happens, that every negative thing that's to happen in our lives is a positive in Christ. It can't help from being. In the life of Joseph, we all know well, Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but you can't outdo God. You meant it for evil, and he took your evil purpose. Listen to me. We're going to have to deal in a sinful world. And we may have to deal with people having evil purposes. But he said, you meant it for evil, but God overrode you and took your evil intention and made good out of it. The old devil thinks he can win. But if we live for the Lord, he can't win. Because God made a plan of salvation to turn every work of the devil into a positive place for the Lord. You and I can have everything turned right to the opposite. Well, he threw me in a well and threw me in a... send me to Egypt as a slave, and I get thrown in the dungeon, and every purpose that was there was a good thing in the Lord. Hang on. Be patient. Live the plan of salvation and see if it don't work. It works every time. You and I sometimes aren't patient enough to see the end of the matter, but I'll say this. We oughtn't judge the beginning of the matter, the scripture says, but the end of the matter. Don't make a judgment on the beginning of it, cause anything's liable to happen yet. Wait till the end of the matter, and then you can look at it and say, great is our God and his plan of salvation for our lives. Lord help us, there's a plan that will help every one of us to live the kind of peaceful, joyful life that he intended for us to have. I don't want to shortchange the plan of salvation tonight. I believe that it is what God intended for every one of us to get a hold of, and that we make it short, not God. The plan of salvation has in it a contented life. I believe that. I believe that there is power and victory over sin in the plan of salvation. I believe there is a power of witness in the plan of salvation. I believe that there is all kind of working miracles of the divine power of God in salvation. I believe tonight, and Lord help us all to strive for it and ask God about it, but I believe that there is to be a deliverance from all manner of conditions. There should be a deliverance in salvation. A deliverance from habits, addictions, things that bind. He gave power in salvation to deliver from that kind of things. And of all the things that the devil has messed with our minds and our lives and all our culture or environmental things that's in life, there is a plan of salvation to take care of that plan. You ever had somebody do you wrong to the point that you hate them? I'm going to declare that there is a place in salvation for deliverance from that hatred. There is a power in salvation to break the habits that we formed in our lives, and I know it to be true because I've had them and I've had them delivered. And I know that the Lord can change our hearts and minds and our desires for the world and all those things because I met the Lord one time and He did it for me. And I don't want none of it. I want more of the Lord. So tonight I want to offer in the Spirit of the Lord, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. A good plan. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.